Welcome, everyone, to this Webster Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is Kix Transaction Server Feature Pack for Mobile Extensions. My name is David Long, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2, the agenda. In today's session, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to Kix Transaction Server Feature Pack for Mobile Extensions. Next, our panel of experts will answer the questions that they have provided. After that, our panel of experts will answer any other questions that are asked. Finally, the session will end with a summary of today's session. Moving on to slide 3. At this time, I would like our panel of experts to introduce themselves for today's call. First, we have Scott McClure. Please go ahead, Scott.
Hi, thank you, David. I'm Scott McClure. I am a senior software engineer. I've been with IBM for 25 years, and I'm currently 23 years in CICS Level 2.
Thank you. Next, we have Matthew Wilson. Please go ahead, Matt.
Hello, my name is Matthew Wilson. I joined IBM about 5 years ago, and since then I've been a developer in Kix, covering a wide variety of areas, including 64-bit application support, Liberty, and the Kix Explorer. And most recently, I've been the lead developer on the mobile feature pack.
Thank you. Next, we have Inderpal Singh. Please go ahead, Inderpal.
Yeah, hi there, I'm Inderpal Singh, though most people call me Indy. I joined IBM roughly 4 years ago. I've been in Kix my entire career at IBM. I've worked on a number of areas in Kix, including Kix Systems Management, or CPSM, the cloud enablement features of version 5.1, and most recently I've been the team lead of the Mobile Extensions Feature Pack team.
Thank you. And finally, we have Mark Woolley. Please go ahead, Mark.
Hello, my name's Mark Woolley. I joined IBM in 2011. Since then, I've been a member of the Kix Level 3 service team. In addition to working with the development team on the Mobile Extensions Feature Pack, I've focused on resolving problems with WebSphere MQ support in Kix.
Thank you. Before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, please go ahead, Scott.
Thank you. We will be talking about the Kix Transaction Server Feature Pack for Mobile Extensions, which is available now in Kix Transaction Server 4.1 and Kix Transaction Server 5.1 from Shop Z Series. Separately orderable, fully supported product that works in conjunction with Kix Transaction Server. In addition to the SMPE installable feature pack, you also need an enablement PTF UK94856 for Kix Transaction Server 4.2 or UK94862 for Kix Transaction Server 5.1. During this discussion, we will be covering the content of the feature pack. We will cover aspects of the application development, as well as development tasks that you would carry out when using this feature pack. We will touch upon IBM WorkLite and discuss how you can use IBM WorkLite to interact with your CICS applications using a JSON interface. CICS already offers various solutions for mobile. We will not be covering SOAP Web Services or Atom Publishing Protocol in this talk.
Thank you, Scott. We will now begin our question and answer session with questions that were provided by the panel, as well as any pre-submitted questions from our customers. I will now hand the presentation over to our panel of experts by moving on to question number 1 on slide 5. Please go ahead, Inderpal.
Thank you, David. So we start with question number 1, which is, what are the capabilities introduced by KixTS for ZOS Mobile Extensions Feature Pack version 1.0? Well, moving on to slide 6, I'll give you the answer to that. The Mobile Extensions Feature Pack essentially actually extends the existing capabilities in Kix Web Services to allow support for a JSON or JavaScript object notation payload to be output from your Kix applications. It does this by allowing your new and existing Kix applications to be exposed through the JSON data format without any need to modify and recompile the applications. Kix Transaction Server will handle the conversion between the application data and the JSON format. JSON is a text-based open standard designed for human-readable programming language-independent data interchange. Now, compared to XML, JSON can be seen as a much simpler data format with smaller grammar and a structure that maps more directly to data structures using programming languages. The JSON syntax itself is actually very lightweight compared to XML. The feature pack enables a REST-style architectural principle to be applied to your new Qix applications. By utilizing REST, you can take advantage of a standardized human-readable interface to your Qix applications that typically involve less overhead and duplication that compared to a request-response SOAP web service by removing the SOAP envelope. RESTful web services implement a resource-based architecture where your CRUD, or create, read, update, and delete actions are directly identified through the URI and are targeted onto an object. Moving on to slide 7, other features introduced by the feature pack would also be a new linkable interface which is provided with within Qix that allows you to call out to external services, such as business partners, to communicate with those services in a JSON data format. In this situation, Qix handles the transformation between your application data and the JSON structure that the external services require. On top of that, with JAX RF, or the Java API for RESTful Web Services, which can be utilized through the Qix JVM server running a Liberty profile, you're also able to develop your web applications through Qix using a fast and easy development platform which has access to the core Qix functionality. With that, I'll be moving on to question 2 and pass over to Mark on slide 8.
Thank you, Indy. So question 2 addresses the first capability introduced in Indy's answer to question 1. That is, how do I expose my existing Qix applications through the feature pack? Exposing your Qix applications using the feature pack is very similar to exposing them as traditional SOAP web services. The difference is that with the feature pack, they're being exposed to JSON web services. Moving on to slide 9, I've outlined the process. The first step is to take the language structure or structures of the Qix application you wish to expose as a JSON web service. Depending on your application, this may be one structure, if that defines the input and output data, or two, one being for input and one being for output. You provide these as input to the DFH LS to JS utility that is supplied with the feature pack. LS to JS standing for language structure to JSON schema. This utility produces a JSON schema which describes the JSON data your JSON web service will receive, and the JSON schema describes the structure of responses from your JSON web service. If you use one language structure, these would be the same. You develop your requester application using these schemas. In addition, a WS bind file is produced. You put this into the pickup directory of a Qix pipeline resource and perform a pipeline scan. This will create a JSON web service and a URI map. The WS bind file is also used at runtime by Qix for data transformation. In addition, you need to create a TCP/IP service for your new JSON web service as you would do for a SOAP web service. If we continue on to slide 10, you'll see three snippets I've included for those of you less familiar with JSON. In the top left, we have a COBOL copybook. I've taken this from the Qix Catalog Manager example application. From this, DFH LS to JS has produced the JSON schema shown on the right. As you can see, this includes declarations of the fields contained in the COBOL copybook, specifying minimum and maximum values based on their data type within the COBOL copybook. In the bottom left, I've included example JSON data that matches the JSON schema and could be used as a payload for an HTTP request. Hopefully you can appreciate that was a rather simple set of steps. Importantly, no changes are required to an existing Qix application, provided your language structure is supported by the JSON assistance. You can read more about using the assistance in the Qix Information Center. I'm now going to pass over to Matthew, who's going to talk through question 3.
Thank you, Mark. So on slide 11, we have question 3. How do I write my applications so that they can be called as RESTful services using the feature pack? Moving on to slide 12, I'd like to compare the two approaches for exposing applications as JSON Web Services provided with kits in the feature pack. These are the request response pattern and the RESTful pattern. As the name implies, the request response pattern involves two messages, a request message and a response message, and the format may differ if the application has different formats for the input and output COM areas. The action to be performed by the application is encoded in the data of this message, and therefore we only support the HTTP POST method in this scenario. Request response JSON Web Services give an interaction pattern similar in style to that of SOAP Web Services, i.e. activity-based, and also similar to remote procedure call. This style of interaction is typically a good fit for existing KIX applications where the emphasis is on the operation that's being performed rather than the resources involved. On the other hand, we have the RESTful pattern, which applies the representational state transfer architectural style to JSON Web Services and KIX. In the KIX implementation of REST, there is a single message format which can serve as either the request message or the response message, depending on the method. More on this later. The application uses the HTTP method to determine the action to be performed rather than encoding it in the data. A single JSON web service in KIX operates on one type of resource, for example, books in a library application. And the specific resource to be operated on by the application is identified in the URI supplied by the client application. RESTful JSON Web Services are typically a good fit for applications where the emphasis is on the resources. Moving on to slide 13, I've outlined the steps to expose your KIX application as a RESTful JSON Web Service. The first thing to do is identify the resources, remembering that for each type of resource, you'll need a JSON Web Service in KIX. So for example, in our library application, we might have services for books, for authors, and for borrowers. Then, for each of those types of resource, we'll create a RESTful JSON Web Service. To do this, we would write a JSON schema which describes the resource that the service is going to operate on. Then we use DFHJS2LS, the JSON assistant for the top-down pattern, passing it this JSON schema and specifying which HTTP methods our service is going to support. And at runtime, KIX will validate the HTTP method matches this set. Finally, we'd write a new application or a wrapper program if we want to expose existing KIX assets, and use containers provided by KIX to determine the HTTP method and the resource that was in your URI. Combining these two bits of information, the application can determine which bit of application logic needs to be invoked to perform the operation. On the bottom of the slide, you can see a table which shows how the HTTP method maps to the request and response message in each case. For example, to inquire on a book in our library application, we'd send an HTTP GET request identifying the book in the URI. And the response body would contain JSON describing details of that book. On the other hand, if we wanted to create a new book in the catalogue, we'd send an HTTP POST request with the details of the book in the request body, of course, in JSON format again. The application would add the resource to the database and then would use the HTTP status line to indicate success or failure. Now back to Mark for the next question.
Thank you, Matthew. We're now moving on to slide 14, where I'm going to talk about using KIX to call other JSON Web Services. So in contrast to the last two questions, we're now envisaging a situation where you wish to integrate functionality provided by other services into the business logic of a KIX application. This could be another service hosted in KIX or on a different platform. Moving on to slide 15. As we've seen with the answers to the other questions, there's some preparation work to complete. For this, I'm going to assume that the external JSON service you wish to call provides a JSON schema describing the structure of the JSON data it requires as input and produces in response. If not, then first you need to create these using any documentation you're provided with. Once you have these schemas, run the DFHJS to LS utility with each one. This will produce language structures, JSON transform bundle parts, and JS bind files. At runtime, which we'll describe in a moment, your Kix application will use a linkable interface to perform the transformation between application data and JSON and vice versa. We'll also use the Kix web API commands to communicate with the service. Moving on to slide 16, I've included a diagram that shows the flow of data in an application that calls an external JSON web service. Starting at point one within the application program, you can see we call the DFHJSON linkable interface providing application data in the language structure generated previously. This is converted into JSON data, which at point two our application uses to call the external JSON web service. JSON data is returned, and then at step three, using the linkable interface again, this is converted back into data native to our application. I'm now going to hand back to Indy for our fifth question.
Thank you, Mark. So, question five. Can the feature pack be utilized using products such as IBM WorkLight? Well, moving on to slide 18, I can give you the simple answer.
Most definitely.
The feature pack can actually be utilized through any solution which can communicate through request response or RESTful web services that understand the JSON data format. This can basically range from anything from your web browser to IBM WorkLight, for example.
The reason we mention IBM WorkLight is because we see this as the product of choice for integrating your Kix systems and Kix applications
with your mobile workload and your mobile devices. It is a product that enables rapid development for both native and web applications that run on all major mobile platforms through a powerful SDK. IBM WorkLight provides a production-ready private app store that allows you to distribute your private applications across the enterprise. WorkLight then handles the communication and versioning of those applications so that you do not have to ensure that all your users migrate to the latest version at the same time or worry about phasing of the applications. As WorkLight supports all major platforms, it deals with the platform-specific actions such as post notifications on your behalf, ensuring that correct notifications are sent to the correct devices that are associated to the correct users. IBM WorkLight also provides an application simulator so that you can see all your how your applications would operate on a number of mainstream devices which have been simulated with the hardware and environmental inputs such as the orientation of the device, the battery life of the device, if Wi-Fi is available. These can all be simulated through the IBM's WorkLight client, so you don't have to invest on buying hundreds and hundreds of devices for you to test that this works on all of them. Moving on to slide 19, I'll show you how we typically see a Kix transaction server and IBM WorkLight server on Z-Linux, for example, working together to incorporate your mobile enterprise workload with Kix. As you can see here, it is as simple as just placing IBM WorkLight between Kix and the mobile devices, providing IBM WorkLight with an adapter that can handle the communication between the devices and Kix. This actual device adapter itself is quick and easy to produce. I don't have any samples here, but I do suggest you go view the IBM WorkLight Info Center to see how quick those tasks actually are to produce an adapter to have your communication between the mobile devices and Kix up and running in a short amount of time. With that, I'll pass back to David.
Thank you. I'd like to thank our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this time, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
And our first question comes from Mr. Mike Zucchinto. Your line is open.
Hi. I have a question that applies, I guess, similarly to both SOAP and to the LS to JS language structure generator for the schemas. When you're creating, in your example, the schema, you're showing the minimum maximum of 0 and 999 based on the picture value in COBOL. If someone wants a more specific value in the schema, they have to manually update it. If there's lots of values, that becomes tedious, right? Is anyone working with the COBOL team to define in the language COBOL minimum and maximum values. Perhaps they could be validated using a COBOL verb, but also the schema generation tools could take that value and use it to create a more specific schema, something that doesn't have to go out and be re-updated each time someone needs to make a change. That's it.
So that's quite an interesting question, actually. I don't know whether I could answer if there is definitely or there is definitely not somebody working on that right now. I guess the most important thing to take from this would be maybe that you could raise an RFE against either the KICS team or the COBOL team to look into that. Personally, I'm not actually aware of anything in the pipeline that's being looked at on that area. I'm not sure if anyone else on the call is aware of anything.
Another interesting point to bear in mind there is that when KICS is transforming application data into JSON and vice versa, we don't validate the data itself against the specific values in the schema. Rather, we're actually validating to simply check whether the JSON data will fit into the data type declared in the language structure. So while it might be really beneficial to have the specific application values defined in the schema, KICS doesn't actually support validation in that way at the moment.
I was actually thinking that the client would use it to validate the data prior to them sending it. They would know what to send out.
Ah, so that is information you could retrieve from the schema as it is right now. So if you were to prepare the schema in that way, which you can do with the minimum and maximum values, that is some validation that could be done there because you would provide that schema to the client. So when they're producing their JSON to communicate with KICS.
Right, but then the values have to be manually input. If you're using the broad scope of 0 for the minimum and 9999 for the max, but it's really between 0 and 10 is the values that you'll accept, then the input has to be manually put in there so that the client knows what scope is, what the values could be.
So in that situation, that would be a great case for using the top-down approach, i.e. using DFHJS to LS, so that you could encode those values directly in the schema. And actually, in that situation, you could go for a kind of meet-in-the-middle approach, i.e. you could use LS to JS to generate the schema to start with, and then, I think as you alluded to earlier, really edit that schema to your application-specific requirements, and then use DFHJS to LS to run that back through.
All right, good. Yeah, I'm trying to get away from the manual process, the updating
sure.
of it.
Yep.
So, all right, I'll open an RFE and see if, of course, this needs the COBOL team to accept this first and then for the CSS team to incorporate that information.
Thank you. And at this time, I'm showing nothing further.
Okay, thank you. I do see one question in the group chat, and the question is, where can I download WorkLight Server for Windows inside IBM?
I guess I just want to clarify, by inside IBM, is this somebody from internal the IBM internal network?
Oh, yes, okay, it says yes.
It's the same. We use the same distributions as everyone else, so it would be from the IBM WorkLight homepage available on IBM.com.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for your participation in the live Q&A period. And finally, moving on to slide 21, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please feel free to let us know as well. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, I would like to advance to slide 22 and pass the presentation over to Matt for a summary of today's session.
Thanks, David. So today we've discussed the new capabilities provided by the KICS TS Feature Pack for mobile extensions, which are all around JSON Web Services and KICS. You can expose existing applications as JSON Web Services and create new RESTful-style applications. And you can also allow KICS to act as a client calling external JSON Web Services. We've also described how you can use IBM WorkLight to interact with your mobile devices and KICS.
We'd also like to let you know that we're currently working on an IBM Redbook covering kicks and mobile solutions, which contains several scenarios for applying this technology in your business applications. So look out for that on the IBM Redbooks website, ibm.com/redbooks, or follow at IBM Redbooks on Twitter, so you'll find out when that's available. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for your participation on today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.